get men to get one of Brother McVeigh's CD.
Thank you, Pastor. You'll get a bird dog award for every book.
Oh, yeah.
I got a red light on this. Should it be green?
Should be green.
All right. Okay, great. Good. Well, good morning or good afternoon almost. Praise the Lord. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5 by and by. Thank you, Pastor, for that generous introduction. I did bring one. It's been kind of busy. I did bring one book of each kind. The English book, you know, it really what happened was I did the English book, English for Bible readers. It's King James Grammar. And Lucy said she encouraged me to publish the notes on the grammar because I couldn't find. Could find scattering and smatterings and so on, but I couldn't find a book that was just right. About how to read the Bible. Because I'm a farmer, you know. We don't talk like these and thous and stuff, but I believe it. Well, we published the book and it got into hands of a pastor down in the Southern Tier, never heard of, John Asquith. He got a hold of me through that. Then I think he passed it on to Gail Ripplinger. Gail Ripplinger sells it on her site, and now through that, it's the German believers are using it. The Germans are realizing the King James Version is really they learn a lot. But like typical, it's more difficult to read, and it is, but it's easier to understand. So if you do the work, if you do the plowing, if you do a little work ahead of time, and kind of gather what it means and so on, you'll get a lot more out of the book, and it just peels the onion down a few more layers, and it's good, it's sweet, it's really a blessing. I say all that because this last month we've almost sold out of the last copy. I had a pastor in Alaska order 100, and then he gave them out at a missions conference, and somebody else from there ordered 30, and another guy ordered 50, and it's just it's good. And I just get my money back. I'm glad that they're being used.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord willing, we can get some more. So praise God. I'm really happy to be here. This is our, again, my name's Paul Scott, if we haven't met. I'm 54 years old, 215 pounds. maybe last year. And... grandfather now, and several times over, God has been good to me. I've been a believer. I got born again, saved. I tricked into a Baptist church up in the Buffalo area, suburbs of Buffalo, and praise God. God has been good. Maybe I haven't always been good. Actually, it's kind of life, you know, we're up, we're down. God is good. He's good for it. What he says, you can take it to the bank. I don't know when it'll happen, but it'll happen. It Amen. Will come to pass.
Right.
So, last month, we had a missionary conference, if you will. We had a pastors, and we're in Niagara County, and I had two Vietnamese men. I wanted to teach them a little bit. You know, we teach all nations. We want to teach Americans. We want to like build a team to go forward together. It's a lot more fun to go together. And the meeting was going okay, but the last speaker I had queued up to close was Pastor Asquith. And it was reminding me of a story. I was reading a book about the American Volunteer Group back in 1940, 41, something like that. They were volunteer flyers, pilots, that wanted to fight against Japan for China. At that time, the Americans were not officially in the war with Japan yet. It was pre-Pearl Harbor. And these guys left their post, they left their military command because they had to be volunteer. So they weren't officially military. But they were the Flying Tigers. And after a certain amount of time, you know, the events of the life happened, Pearl Harbor happened, and their term, their duration, their 1 year volunteership was over. And they were just hanging out in China with nothing to do, or they were in Siam or someplace. And nothing to do, nothing really going on. they're really not military. They really can't go back to the military. They don't really know what to do. And they sent an old man, Claire Chenault, old pilot, tough guy. And they said he was in the hut there, and these guys were just, the old pilots were just lounging around. Hey, they don't have to take an order. They're not under orders anymore. They're free. They just don't have, there's no way out. They're stuck there, you know. And the old man came up behind them. They're just lounging around, you know, out in the sun or in the shade, smoking, drinking beer, and just hanging out. And the old man stepped up behind him. He goes, Dan Hutt! Those guys, he says, they jumped to their feet. It was like just like the master's voice. They heard the master, the old Victrola, you know. They heard it. And boy, they got to work. There was none of this stuff about going home and stuff like that. They got going in the planes and they learned tactics and so on. I couldn't help but think that our meeting last month, it was going okay. We had a variety of speakers. But Pastor Asquith came in and closed. I just felt like it was a damn hut. Everybody, okay, that's why I have you as a close. I heard that, I don't know about this guy. I didn't understand the Vietnamese that well. We know about you already, but that guy, whoa, he can preach. So it was good. Thank you for, if you remember here, thank you for lending your pastor to us for that day. It was nice. We had Brother Dale and Pastor Hain also was. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yesterday I was plowing, brother. Behind the plows. I'm in front of the plow. And I think, wow, I don't have a message. And I usually don't like, I like to be prepared. And I feel ill-prepared. So I'm praying. When you're plowing in our area there, I got a 200-horse thing with a 14-foot chisel plow and rambling over. Unless you're making a turn and avoiding the neighbor's yard, you don't want to, you could turn the neighbor's yard right over one pass, you know. You have to turn right close and keep not throwing the sod on there. Or you come to a wet spot, the quicksand, you know, you got to kind of be careful, and it's kind of a challenge. By and by, most of it, probably 80% of it, you're just going straight line. You're just rambling through, pulling that thing through the sod, you know, turning it over. And it's kind of boring. And that's a really good time to, like, if you go into that tractor and you have something wrong between you and God, you're going to have a bad day. Because there's no escape.
Yeah.
But if you go in with a good, you know, we've read our chapter, we've, you know, asked God's mercy and good things. And it was a good day, because it's just you and God. And I asked God, what do you want me to do? I have a lot of ideas, a lot of things rumbling around in there. Well, it's like Brother McVeigh said, what do I say to these people? I feel ill qualified, really. You know, I feel like I really should be in the far back, just taking it in. And God, I think God just gave me something. And I hope it's a blessing. But my and I won't be long, because you know, if you're not good, be short. If you're good, go ahead and be long. God gave me something, and I'll just say it's I don't really have a title. It's just kind of scratched right now. But if I could say something to a pastor, to my pastor, to missionaries. Sometimes it's difficult being in the pew, being on the other side. I'm on both sides, but sometimes it's difficult to really communicate something to your pastor. You don't want to feel like you're like bossing them, or you don't want to feel proud or arrogant, or you don't want to make yourself look stupid. You certainly don't want to tell God's man what he should or should not do. But sometimes you just wish there was a way to communicate to you, pastor. I'll speak for your congregation, okay? And I'll do it as gracefully and as kindly as. And don't worry, it isn't what you think. It has nothing to do with, can you go shorter, or can you let us out on Super Bowl Sunday or something? Nothing like that. It has nothing to do with the way you scream at me and spit on me or something like that. this is really just some good stuff. So let's see what God has in store here. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter's saying, I think I'm also maybe qualified. We're co-laborers together. We're yoke fellow in this, because I've also been a witness and a partaker of these things. And he's speaking to the leaders. You know, I don't want to get into the thing whether it's an elder or pastor. He's speaking to the leaders of the churches. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Don't do it as a career move. But willingly, not for filthy lucre. Clean lucre, okay. Filthy lucre, forget it. Launder that money. But of a ready mind, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. My Bible says ensamples, not examples. An ensample is a personal characteristic, right? Someone's character, something about them personally. Whereas that example can be any pattern, any style. It could be an animate object or an inanimate object. It could be anything. Whereas ensample is your who you are. When no one's looking, who are you? Mm-hmm. You are an ensample.
Yes.
Because chances are someone is looking. They're watching. They're watching your character. We learn more with our eyes, Pastor. Okay, I'm just going to address, I know we have evangelists and missionaries and so on. We learn more with our eyes. We watch you. My parents, they watched Pastor Nugent's in the Buffalo area. After I got saved there in 1981, and I was baptized in 1982, they watched him for about 20 years. They're not going to jump into anything. Now they're regular members.
Amen.
My mother was baptized there. She was 72 years old. Amen. By Pastor Neil Dale Nugent. Dale was down here about a year ago or whatever. So they definitely watch. So if I could talk about, I'm going to try to be brief, four things. And it's not the things that, again, not the things that maybe you would be afraid we'd say. There are three things that I think, pastors, I wish that you would teach us. Because I have problems, and we all have problems as the sheep. We have, if you listen to our prayer requests, they deal with only three things: relationships with each other, with our children, with God. We have a hard time in relationships, especially with our society. This is an American society. You don't like it, lump it, move out of town, take this job and leave it, you know, and move on. There's always a frontier because we're Americans. So we're not very well versed, we're not very well trained on staying and working things out. Would you, Pastor, would you be an example to us in that? Would you show us how to do that? Would you teach us how to build a relationship and keep a relationship? Would you teach us about the other part of our prayer request is dominated with health problems. Mm-hmm. Pastor, help us to be healthy. We have watched you. We want to be healthy.
Uh-oh.
Would you teach us? Would you teach us about good health? Because when we're sick, it's hard to serve the Lord. In fact, we go from an asset to a liability. I think Satan would have us to be sick. He's delighted when we kill ourselves with the things we do. And a lot of our health, I know, is spiritually related. You don't have to eat raw broccoli on whole wheat every day, every meal. But there are things you can do that teach us. Teach us about good health, because it dominates our prayer requests.
That's right.
And the other thing, and this isn't even a message, the other thing is money. Pastor, I spend most of my years, I get up in the morning, I dark 30, I put my feet on the floor, I find my trousers, I go to work. or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I work hard, I give my life to make money, and when I'm not working, I'm spending it. And, I'm in debt, I worry, it stresses my marriage, all kind of things like that. Would you teach us about money? I think the Bible has a lot to say about it, doesn't it? Would you teach us about those things? Those are just, that's just side stuff. But specifically, Pastor, as an example here, you're not lords over God's heritage. I'm not speaking to that group. Amen. I've had people read to me out of Hebrews and say, obey them that rule over you. And that's not correct. Obey them that have the rule over you. It's a noun. It's not a verb. They have the rule, the measure, the word of God. You still obey them, but that's not their command to rule over you. Their command is to teach you the rule, teach you the word of God. You obey them accordingly. Amen? Stay in the deal. But I'm not talking to that group here. Here's what I'd like you to do, though, Pastor, please. And I'm not talking to any guy specifically, because my pastor's not here. Would you always do this, number one? Tell us the constancy of our purpose. That is always, would you keep reminding me and us what it's all about? What's this all about? Would you help? Would you, it's a busy life, and we're busy, and we have issues. Amen? I'm not going to trifle with your intelligence. We all have issues. Would you, Pastor, would you always keep the first things first? Would you remind us what's important? Would you do that? We'd really appreciate that. Sometimes we get off and something that's, not really, shouldn't be the main thing becomes the main thing in our life. When we come to visit you or we come to the church, I kind of need an adjustment. Oh, yeah, that's the important thing in my life. The constancy of our purpose. What's it all about? Why are we here? Number two, see, this is going really fast. Continual growth. Continual growth. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to go back a little bit to Philippians chapter 3. I rarely get a chance to talk freely to pastors where I don't have to wear the missionary suit and I can just be among my friends, So, I don't know, yesterday in the tractor, I enjoyed this. Like I said, though, it's really boring, so I enjoy just about anything, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. When you attain means you work for something. It's not a gift. It's not granted to you. When you attain, when you reach a goal, you attain to something. That means there's been some striving. You worked. He says, not that I've already, I haven't, I'm not there. I'm not accomplished yet. Either we're already perfect. There's still work to do. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can we grow together? Pastor, I respect you. I respect your office. And I also understand that you are a man. We have the same fatal flaws, all of us. Amen? Yes. But I grant to you the respect due and the honor due to you as a man and to your office. But I would ask this. Would you always try to attain to work? Please don't be a model that just is the same, the same, the same. One guy, I use this a lot, when I started at Kodak, one old guy's, he was giving me a hard time, and my boss had me walking by, and he says, "Oh, Scotty, you don't know anything. I got 27 years experience in the it was a mold maker. I got 27 years as a mold maker experience." And Daryl Miller, my boss, says, "No, that's not true." He goes, I forget, Bill, whatever. "Bill, you have 1 year of experience, and you've just repeated it 27 years in a row. You haven't changed, you haven't grown, you're just existing, right? You haven't done anything new in a long time. You're making the same mistakes that you've always made. You're really not a good model for new people like Scotty here to learn from. It's okay, Pastor, for you to make a mistake, amen? It's okay, we forgive you, because we make mistakes too. But please teach us this mindset, this idea that I'm going to learn from this mistake. You call it a sin, mistake, or something like that, more serious. You can put whatever words you want. But that doesn't work, so I'm not going to just sit here where it doesn't work. I'm going to make some small change. I'm going to make a very careful small change." I use the C word, careful about that. "But I'm going to make some small change. It doesn't mean I'm a radical, doesn't mean I do this. Pastor Askman said he changes his mind, he changes his underwear." Maybe every day. I don't know, I have to ask Ruth Ann about that. But can we ask for continual growth? Can we always improve? You know, when I was a foreman, I had to judge, rate people for their performance according to their pay increase. But before the year, I'd always have them say, "These are the three things I'm going to judge you on. Number one," you could do this back then, "your character." Not are you a character, but your character. Which of us can't improve our character? Secondly is your competence. Do you know something? Do you need to take a class? Do you need to learn? Do you need to, you know, I need to improve my competence in the digital field. I had one of them, their smartphones. I couldn't wait to give it away. I hate those things. I hit the button and the wrong thing goes, and then it goes black and it makes a sound, all kinds of crazy. I want to, you know, crank it, you know. "Hello, yeah. All right, meet you for coffee, got it." And talk to them, you know, with coffee. I need to improve. And the other one is communication skills. Pastor, we can always improve our communication skills, right? Part of our skills is how we, not just our voice, and our inflection, but how we look, how we approach people. It's important. People judge you and me by what we look like. And I want you to be effective. Then I can bring guests and I feel comfortable. Like they're not going to say, "Oh, gee, you know, just a joker with a big voice or something like that." So it's all good. Number three, Pastor, would you teach us careful transitions? What is that? Is that like some kind of eyeglasses? You know, they get dark in the sunlight. Pastor, you're super. You're super. Hey, Tim, you're a super guy. I like you. I really do. I've never failed to really learn a lot and get a blessing from your style. And I can say the same for you, Pastor Asquith. I feel like I know you. I've listened to your series so often in the garage and so on. But you're not Superman. You're super, but none of us is Superman. Would you please teach others to do some of the things so that, one, they can enjoy, they can have a part of your church. They can be an owner. This is what I do. I print the bulletin. I ring the bell. I know you're going to have to hold my hand. I used to teach, we had this complex assembly equipment at Kodak. And I was on the engineering staff, you know, and our job was to get it running and then turn it over to the production and the maintenance people so we could go on to the next project. Well, part of the handoff was you had to teach the mechanics what it was, how to do it, what goes wrong, and how to fix it.
Well, you can stand up here all day, lecture and swing your arms, have a PowerPoint and movies and stuff. You know what? Forget it. You can give them handouts. They can't read. You know, whatever. They don't care. They don't care. But I tell you what, you see here. Here's this complex gadget here. You set it right here on the table. Okay, Mr. Golden Wrench in the back there that has been sleeping through the mortification. Come up here. Take this apart. Don't they do this in the Army? Take it apart. Put it back together again. Change the bearing right now. Holy cow. You know what? When they do it like hands-on, when they know they're going to have to do it, suddenly they're learning. It's really, Pastor, would you do that? That's how I learn. I'm a hands-on learner. Would you do that for me and for the people? I might not get it the first time. Don't get mad at me. Just have a little grace. I mean, you might have to get stern with me, but show me. Walk me through it. I can run the copier machine. I'll write down what button to push, you know, so you don't have to. Amen? You can visit people in the hospital, do other things, pastoral things, you can be golfing. Good for you. Go have a good time. I mean it. I hope you take a day off. I hope you don't ignore the fourth commandment. Amen? But I don't want you to burn out and poop out and quit. I want you to get some rest. It's good for me when you are resting. So Pastor, would you... I know it's difficult because here's the deal. We've had children. We've had disciples. They don't do it right. They don't do it as good as I could do it. Yesterday I was in a marshy field. It was flooded. The beavers had flooded it and it was really wet. And the farmer, he pays me so much to drive around his tractor and pray. It was such a great thing, you know. He pays me to ride around and pray, you know. He goes, I'm glad it wasn't some kid in that tractor because he would have sunk it in that mud. You know, there's just, look, you have the experience. You've been there. You guys are veterans. You know a lot of things. And you know a lot of people things. You know a lot of stuff. If there's some way to pass that on, would you bring so-and-so under your wing? I don't want to embarrass him, but maybe I will. I love when Brother Asquith comes to the missions day and so on, he doesn't come alone. I'm so glad you bring Dale. Brother, it's just so good. You can learn, and you have. I've seen you. It's just good. Amen. We need more Dales. Amen? We need more of that. Pastor, you know, again, I know, would you carefully make transitions? Because we don't want you to be the all in all in our life. Jesus Christ is our all in all. We just want you to be a good example. We want you to show us balance between resting and working. And we want you to teach us to teach other people also. How do you do that? We're watching. And the fourth thing, and I'm trying to move along, is we're going to find it in 1 Samuel chapter 12. We go way back to 1 Samuel. Pastor John, I hope you're not offended. Oh boy. I hope you're not offended. Remember that support? Yeah. don't quit that day job. Keep plowing, kid. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. These are You want the heart of a father, the heart of a pastor, if you will. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Pastor, please cease not to pray for us. I don't care if you stammer. I don't care if you're long-winded. I don't care if your jokes aren't funny.
I don't care, but I do care that you care about me. When my welfare is your concern, I'm here. When it becomes I'm part of your church, and this is, you know, so-and-so's name is on the... Instead of Christ, and my walk with God has been supplanted by my obedience to you and, like, painting your house and washing your windows and stuff like that, that's not good. I don't want that. But here's what I would like. I would really like you to pray for me. How can we set that up? How can we... Oh, because I know that when you pray, you know, it's hard to be angry with someone that you pray for. You know, it's hard to be bitter when you pray for somebody, isn't
that's
it?
Right, yeah.
And I know I've done a lot of things to make you angry. If ever there was a reason to be bitter, it's against me for something I've done or said in your congregation.
But if you would pray for me, I know God will work. God does great things. I know God shows himself strong to you and then to me. Cease not to pray for us.
Cease not. Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, Ephesians 1:16. Really, in every epistle, I think he says, I pray for you always. Pray for you always. I would say all these things, Pastor. Maybe your congregation wouldn't say it, or maybe they don't know how to say it exactly, and I don't even know if I said it well. But would you keep a constancy of purpose before us? Would you help us with continual growth? Have faith in God. That means I'm doing something, right? That means something's going on. At that time, he had told the fig tree to, you know, no fruit from hereafter, and the guys came back later on, and the fig tree was all withered. They go, whoa, I remember that tree. Whoa, hey, Jesus, hey, have faith in God. That's nothing. That ain't nothing. Do you get it? Something new, something good. Careful transitions. We're really a vibrant church when we all feel like we belong here. We all have something. I gotta go to church, I'm in the choir, right? I gotta go to church, I gotta hold the plate, or I got something to do.
I like it, yeah.
And it's good, I'm a member there. I'm not just sitting, taking a spot in the pew. I mean, some people, that's okay. For me, I can't do that. I mean, maybe once or twice, but man, I gotta do something. Give me a part of something to do. And cease not to pray. I'll pray for you. I love you guys. Pastors are the hardest working, best. I'm saying that not as a missionary seeking support, okay? Pastors work hard. It takes a toll on them physically. It takes a stress that few people really understand. It takes a stress on their wife and their family. Pray for your pastor, and you know what, just suddenly his messages are good. Suddenly they make sense. Suddenly you don't care if he goes an hour instead of exactly 42 minutes. You don't care if you didn't beat the Methodist, the Dunkin' Donuts, or, you know, Cracker Barrel or something like that. It's okay. You know why? You've been praying for him, and he's praying for you. Amen? Everything you'd ever want to know, but they won't tell you.
I like it. Very good.
God bless you guys.
Oh, what a blessing.
Sister Rebecca, could I get you to play, please? We're going to be changing up the 1 o'clock format some. Pat has prepared something for the ladies, so they'll be staying downstairs as usual, but when us men come,